Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, January 18th, 2016. Here are our top stories.
Tonight, how will the big banks react to the implosion of oil? Then, a look back at the legacy of Dr. King. After that, why smart cars can be a very dumb idea. And what will it take for Hillary to finally stop the burn? That's next.
And I've got all these clips of Bernie Sanders. Climate change is absolutely real, okay? I know I talk like a Muppet, but it's real. Do something now to save the Earth. We have to do this now. There's no more these big Walmart people. The oil companies lie all day, but they know the Earth is dying. It's not genetic engineering, it's not overfishing, it's not secret weapons that endanger us. It's carbon dioxide plants free. Is that clear?
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, we've heard of negative interest rates at the banks, but now we've seen another oddity, and that is negative crude oil prices. Earlier today, we had North Dakota sour crude. And, of course, when we talk about sour crude, it's kind of an index. We have things like Brent crude and West Texas intermediate crude. Those are all different kinds of quality of crude oil. This is a very high sulfur grade of crude, so it's a very low-priced oil. You've heard that oil went below $30 a barrel. That's for the higher grades. This lower grade of crude in North Dakota was selling today for negative 50 cents per barrel. Negative 50 cents per barrel. In other words, they'll take it from you if you pay them. They say that U.S. benchmark oil prices have collapsed more than 70% in the past 18 months, and the higher grades of crude fell below $30 a barrel for the first time in 12 years last week. Telling producers that they have to pay you to take away their oil certainly gives the producers a whole bunch of incentive to shut their wells. In other words, you can have an oil well business if you want, but it'll bankrupt you. Sound familiar? Of course, this is being done not because of fiat regulation by a president with executive orders. This is really reflective of a global shutdown, slowdown, a recession or a depression, depending on what's going to happen. We don't know, but this is a symptom. It's not really the cause. They talk about it as being the cause, and it will be a cause of other problems. Big banks are bracing for oil loans to implode. This is pointed out by Bloomberg. They say that three of America's biggest banks warned last week that oil prices will continue to create headaches on Wall Street, especially if doomsday scenarios of $20 or even $10 per barrel oil play out. For example, Wells Fargo is sitting on more than $17 billion in loans to the oil and gas sector. And so the bank says, well, we're going to set aside $1.2 billion. That's less than 10% of their exposure to cover losses. I don't know how that's going to work out. J.P. Morgan, for example, is saying that they're setting aside an extra $124 million to cover potential losses in oil and gas loans. They figure that could rise to $750 million if oil prices unexpectedly stay at their current level for the next year and a half. Citigroup says they're building up reserves up to $300 million. The bank said the move is reflecting a view that oil prices are likely to remain low for a much longer period of time. And as I pointed out, this is a symptom, not a direct cause. And so what they're saying is that they expect the current recession that is reflecting itself in lower stock markets and lower oil prices, they expect that recession to continue for quite some time. And understand that today the sanctions came off of Iran. And that means that another 500,000 barrels of oil per day are going to be coming onto the market that is already glutted into an economy that is already slowed. They point out the oil crash has already caused more than 42 North American oil companies to file for bankruptcy since the beginning of 2015. This is a list compiled by a Houston law firm. Then S&P estimates that 50% of energy junk bonds are distressed, meaning that they are about to default. Well, another day, more declines on stock markets. If we look at the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P, they're down from about 2 to 3%. We see that Asian markets were down from about 1 to 1.5%. European markets were down about a quarter to a half a percent. Now, we know that some of this is certainly due to Fed policy. At the very least, the Federal Reserve's policies, our tax policies, are things that are killing the economy, that are causing these kinds of declines. There's another kind of crash that is coming, though, and this is one that's not going to be on Wall Street. It may be on Main Street with your automobile, and that, of course, is the driverless cars. And it is also another example of how megacorporations are now openly writing regulations, openly writing law here in America and throughout the West. This is a situation where they come, the Silicon Valley car manufacturers, wannabes, who want to have the upper hand on self-driving cars, along with Detroit, went to Washington and are now writing the laws, just as we've seen with GMOs. We've seen that Big Agra does not want to have local regulation of food content or the way that they grow crops with GMO contamination. They don't want to have regulations at the local level, so they want the government to come in at the national or preferably a world government trade operation to shut that down internationally. It's the corporations, of course, that wrote the Trans-Pacific, the Transatlantic Partnerships. They didn't have elected representatives. We're not allowed to have any say-so in it. They were not even allowed to tell us if they bothered to even look. And so now we see the same thing happening with transportation. When we talk about gun control, what about car control? What about control of your transportation? What about restricting your movements in a way that they talk about sustainability? That has been the goal of Agenda 21 and of the 2030 sustainable goals that they've come out with just this last September. That is the goal, to confine your movement, to make everybody live in concentrated inner cities in a 100 or 200 square foot area, and to keep you out of the rural countryside. They want to lock that up. We see the beginnings of that now with the moves towards farmers, ranchers, miners, loggers. They have locked up the areas of the country that they've maintained were for public use. They don't want anybody in there. And, of course, they're going to continue to do that to make it impossible for you to own a car, make it too expensive for you to commute. A few people will be allowed to do that, those who have a lot of money, those who have political connections. But this is how it's going to roll out. We see that Silicon Valley billionaires are telling the Obama administration what they want. Now, what they want are $4 billion in federal subsidies. They want a nationalization of transportation safety regulations at the federal level. U.S. Transportation Secretary was surrounded by about a dozen auto and Silicon Valley tech leaders last week at the Detroit Auto Show. They said the U.S. Department of Transportation intends to remove, quote, potential roadblocks to the integration of innovative, transformational automotive technology that can significantly improve safety, mobility, and sustainability. There's that word, sustainability. And, of course, when they talk about safety, what they're really talking about, though, are big subsidies that are going to Silicon Valley as well as Detroit. Think about, for example, airbags. Remember when they put airbags in and they were a safety liability to women, to children, but they wouldn't allow you to turn them off. Now we've had millions of these things recalled, and when they malfunction, it is like being shot in the face with a shotgun, including the metal projectiles, if you've seen any of the people who have been, pictures of people who have been killed by this. Nevertheless, later this year, we're going to have V2V mandates, that's vehicle-to-vehicle communication equipment, mandated to be added to cars. That's something you're going to pay to buy, you're going to pay to maintain that, and it is going to be snitching on you everywhere you go. Now, the feds are going to have rules in place for self-driving cars, they say. Within the next 6 months, they're really accelerating this. They say this is an aggressive and ambitious embrace of automotive driving, says an assistant professor at the University of South Carolina. They want to get rid of, as they say, a patchwork of rules. But what kind of rules are they getting rid of? They say this is about safety. And yet the rules that they're reacting to are rules that came out of the California Department of Motor Vehicles, rules that would say that there's going to be requirements for humans to be able to take control of these cars during the testing phase. Wouldn't you think that during the testing phase, at least, that you would want to have humans there to back this up if you were really concerned about safety? But then they talk about the flexibility. Have you ever heard the government talk about flexibility of regulations, especially when it comes to cars? Remember when they wouldn't let people turn off their mandated airbags? But they want to be very flexible when it comes to robotic cars that are going to be ultimately controlled by the government. They say fully autonomous vehicles have the potential to save lives, so we welcome the secretary's commitment to removing barriers that may prevent them from sharing the roads when they're really ready, said a Google spokesman. And they point out, though, that this is in direct contradiction to the regulations coming out of California, being concerned about safety. Now, if you think that this is going to be a benevolent dictatorship, think about how transportation is already handled when the government interacts with it at the federal level or even at the state level. Think about the TSA when you try to fly, or the TSA going onto trains, setting up roadblocks on roads. Think about the fact that we have the highway patrol or local police using their office more for a random tax enforcement than they are for anything else. And understand that this is really about gaining control, about gaining revenue. A proposed law will allow warrantless cell phone searches in Vermont, Bernie Sanders' state. You know, how bad could government transportation control be? Well, this is a good example. And in the example they give, they say a highway patrolman sees somebody using their cell phone, so they pull them over. Now, if the person did not acquiesce, then they would have to get a search warrant. So they want to make it easier to hand out those tickets. So lawmakers want Vermonters to give up some of their privacy in exchange for safer roads. Where have we heard that before? Give up your privacy, give up your liberty for safety. Of course, that's part of the what they're trying to sell you with driverless cars in the first place. Somehow you're going to be safer if you just give up all of your freedom to move when you want, how you want, as you wish. Give up your cars, give up your private ownership of cars. Now, they're telling you that what they want you to do is have to turn over your cell phone for a complete audit roadside without a search warrant. They said they haven't really thought about how far this might go. And of course, they say, well, you know, it could go to to your computer. It could go to your iPad, not just your cell phone, but we don't really intend for the police to be able to do that. But of course, there's nothing that would prohibit them from doing that. And they point out no other state allows warrantless searches of cell phones. They say it's hard to believe that this won't be found unconstitutional, said someone from the ACLU there in Vermont. They said the bill is vague. It's overbroad. It's also vague when it comes to justification for the stop. A person could just be sneezing, or, you know, they could just set up a roadblock like they do for drunk driving. And that's what they talk about. They say anyone who drives on the highway in Vermont is implied to have given consent to take a breathalyzer if the officer suspects him of driving drunk. And now, of course, in many places like here in Austin, they're assuming that you have given your permission to have your blood drawn. It's gotten that bad. Understand that you have rights, and that people are giving them away left and right under these phony promises of safety, calling them a privilege. And so that's what they're saying. You have given this up. You have given away your rights to move about freely. And that's what people are doing when they acquiesce to these driverless cars. There's a lot of people who would prefer not to drive. I understand that. And I don't have a problem with that if they would allow us to make that determination ourselves. But understand that they are going to force each and every one of us to buy the equipment to begin with. Then they are going to monitor us with the insurance companies. They're going to tax, track, and insure us to death until we no longer have any private ability to move about. Now, as we look at this and as this expands and as we see Silicon Valley pushing this driverless car issue, we understand that, of course, their phones themselves have major security issues. as we see many stocks taking a plunge. Apple has plunged far more than anybody else. And of course, the CEO, Tim Cook, is looking for a way to try to encourage people to update their phones to stay with Apple. And so he's pushing encryption. He's pushing privacy. I'm glad that he's doing it, but he's getting a pushback from the government. Nevertheless, we see that the Apple CEO apparently lashed out at the Obama administration officials for not issuing a public statement defending the use of encryption without backdoors, according to two people who were briefed on the meeting and relayed the information to The Intercept. And we look at this. Look at the background of what's going on with encryption, with privacy. Just this week, we've had Ross Ulbricht, the guy who was convicted as being the dread Pirate Roberts. They're appealing for a new trial, talking about how the prosecutors had suppressed information about corrupt federal agents. We've seen that researchers at Kaspersky Lab have found a valuable zero-day exploit attacking a vulnerability in Microsoft's Silverlight software, and a researcher found a way for hackers to remotely burn industrial motors. All this reported by Wired magazine. And yet, we're supposed to turn over one of the potentially most dangerous things that we have in our life, and that is this vehicle that we're driving along at 60 miles an hour. We're supposed to turn control of that over to Silicon Valley, the people who cannot and or will not control the phones, who give the government back doors in terms of monitoring and tracking everything we do. Meanwhile, the FBI, who is trying to track everybody and all of this, is saying that they cannot hire enough programmers if they have to maintain the marijuana testing that they're doing on people. They say they can't find people who are any good at security, at cybernet security, who aren't pot smokers. The FBI director says, "I have to hire a great workforce to compete with those cyber criminals. Some of those kids want to smoke weed on the way to the interview." Now, when Motherboard reports this, they're essentially talking about how out of step our drug war is with society's values. But the reality is that it's out of step with the Constitution. The reality is that these schedules, like making marijuana a Schedule I drug, that was something that was created by the UN. It's a UN agenda, and that's something for conservatives to think about. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about Marco Rubio's flexibility on immigration as well as his flexibility on eligibility for presidents. We'll be right back.
And all you ISIS people threatening us, hey, we're not a French newspaper, okay? We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches? This is Texas. You want to threaten me, you can go straight to hell. You understand that?
Never water yourself down just because someone can't handle you at 100 proof. It's the Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Another GOP debate is upon us.
When you had the World Trade Center go, people were put into planes that were friends, family, and they were sent back. They knew what was going on. They went home and they wanted to watch their boyfriends on television.
Who else would come back like that at the Bushes and the Clintons calling them criminals?
And this the Saudis.
You guys, go back to your live feeds.
You see, we don't have rights in America. Only the people who are outside of this country have a right. The only right that anybody has is to come live in America, presumably to live off of us if that's what they choose. They can come live off of us. They can come create war in our country. That's their right. But people in America don't have rights.
The first and most important priority of the President of the United States is to protect the safety and security of America.
No, it isn't. You're disqualified. You have an oath to the Constitution, and the oath to the Constitution says, and the Declaration of Independence says, you are created to protect our freedoms.
Right.
Not to keep us safe. They didn't want safety. They wouldn't have rebelled against the strongest government in the world if their first priority was safety. Their first priority was liberty. They created a government to protect that. I'm sick of these people.
If we want to defend the country, we have to defend against who's are coming in. And Marco has more of an allegiance to Chuck Schumer and to the liberals than he does to conservative policy.
Do you really think that Republicans have fueled the rise of ISIS?
Where's she been? Who is she?
The allies of ISIS, the Islamic rebels against Assad, that we created a safe space or made that space bigger for ISIS to grow.
We know what's going on. We know these guys are running ISIS. And when they talk about shutting down freedom of speech, he just repeated the exact same stuff he said in his speech. Even talking about how you don't refer to these people as masterminds, he knows precisely what he's saying. These are a bunch of Morlocks, and the American people are a bunch of Eloi. When they talk about serving America, you're on the menu.
Join InfoWars January 14th, starting at 7 p.m. Central for another episode of Political Science Theater 3K.
And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
This weekend on Sunday's Meet the Press, presidential candidate Marco Rubio showed how fluid he can be on immigration. And of course, when we talk about Marco Rubio, I would say that he is our anchor baby candidate. We need to understand what natural born citizen means. But let's put that aside for a moment and look what he proposes for people who are here illegally. He said that felons should not be allowed to stay, but those who commit lesser crimes should still qualify for citizenship. And he didn't specify if the people allowed to stay would ever be able to become citizens. But at what point, I guess we need to ask him, maybe if we could get this definition from him, at what point does an illegal, a person here illegally, become a criminal? I mean, what laws and how many do they need to break before they become a criminal alien, as he points out? He says, if you're a criminal alien, no, you can't stay. But if you're someone who's been here for a very long time, well, he'll take a look at it, okay? And so they point out that this is his fluid position on immigration. Of course, he was part of the Gang of Eight that tried to do blanket amnesty to people who were here illegally, not following the legal process for immigration. And I guess we should also ask if he and Ted Cruz are following the legal process for presidential eligibility. A lot of people responded to the report that I had on radio on Friday when I was talking about Ted Cruz not being a natural born citizen, in my opinion. A lot of people said, oh, of course he's a citizen. You have to understand what we're talking about here is how he became a citizen. Not a naturalized citizen. A naturalized citizen is not the same as a natural-born citizen. And, of course, it is an arbitrary distinction to some degree. You could say that about anything that's in the law. We have requirements for age. Let's pick the age of 35 for president. Why not 34? Why not 36? The understanding there is that the person had to have a certain amount of maturity. We arbitrarily picked an age and set it at that. Now, if you want people at a younger age, if you want people at 18 to be able to become president, then try to change the Constitution. But the law says what the law says. And if Ted Cruz says he's going to be a constitutionalist, if he says he's going to appoint Supreme Court judges who are originalists, then he owes an explanation to us as to why he is qualified to be president. Now, On other immigration, we see that after Paul Ryan, and this is part of the omnibus bill reported by Breitbart, they say after he funds visas for 300,000 Muslim migrants, House Republicans give him a standing ovation. This was, of course, a follow-up to last month's omnibus bill. They point out that with $1.1 trillion omnibus spending bill, it funded visas for nearly 300,000 temporary and permanent Muslim migrants over just the next year. It also funded sanctuary cities, illegal alien tax credits. It changed federal law to allow for massive increases in low-skilled H-2B workers. Now, you know, I said maybe we ought to have an H-1B visa president since we don't really care anymore about the qualifications that are in the Constitution. I'm sure we could find people outside the country that have better qualifications than the people who are running right now. Maybe it's not H-1B visa. That's too technical. We should use the H-2B visa because it's an unskilled position, apparently. Nevertheless, after all this was happening, they have a conference and they had Republicans give Ryan a standing ovation. Now, you might say, well, of course they would do that. They would always do that. And that hasn't happened in the past. They say, for the past 4 years, lawmakers have used this as an occasion to scream at John Boehner and at Eric Cantor. But no screaming against Paul Ryan this time. No, in spite of what he did, they were applauding him. And I can only guess that when they say the House Republicans were happy for once, as Politico pointed out, I can only guess that they're happy about the fact that he did the head fake for Obamacare, for Planned Parenthood, finally passing a resolution saying that they don't like those just 3 weeks after they fully funded them. 3 weeks after they gave up all their leverage to try to not fund Obamacare and Planned Parenthood. And of course, they're not even paying attention to the fact that they immediately, within less than a week, funded the climate treaty that Obama said he was going to sign us onto. Now, this last weekend, we also had the Democrat debate, which they cleverly put up against the playoffs on Sunday. And it basically featured a back and forth between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And let me just kind of break this down for you, okay? We've known what these two are. As they say, we've already established what they are. We're just haggling over the price. The price it's going to cost us in not only the economy, but the price in our liberty. And the difference between the two of them essentially came down to a difference, a slight difference on gun control and nationalized health care. Now, Sanders wants to take an incremental approach to gun control, gradually take away our gun rights. Hillary wants to go for them all at once. But when you look at health care, she wants to go with a gradual approach because she tried that once before, coming after everything. Remember back in 1993, we had Hillary Care. She tried for a single-payer system. In other words, government controlling and running everything. And people revolted against that. So she understands that if we're going to try to do a kind of Sandinista healthcare system, that's not going to fly. But Bernie Sanders didn't learn anything in the last 3 years about the failure of socialism or the failure to sell socialism. So he is pushing for a full-out healthcare system that she has come back and taken the tactic of Margaret Thatcher, essentially saying, how are we going to be able to afford this? You know, Margaret Thatcher said, the problem with socialism is you eventually run out of other people's money. And that's what Hillary Clinton is saying. Now, when it comes to gun control, Mr. Sanders, they point out, pointed to other restrictions that he supported and said his vote for the immunity legislation, and that is to say that when they talk about immunity, they're not really talking about immunity for gun manufacturers. Understand that nobody who manufactures a gun or who manufactures a car has any liability or should have any liability if somebody uses that in a crime. And what they're trying to do is hold gun manufacturers liable for crimes, for criminal use of their product. If somebody were to take an automobile, for example, and use it as a car bomb, should people be able to sue Ford? What if they drive their Chevy through a crowd in a terrorist action, as we've seen happen multiple times already in the United States? Should they be able to sue Chevy for that? But what they're saying is Smith & Wesson should be sued if somebody uses a gun to commit a crime. Now, the liberals will say, but guns are only created to kill people. No, guns are set up to either provide safety for people, to defend people, or they can be used in an act of criminal aggression. But now what they're saying is that if you don't allow the people to sue gun manufacturers when their products are used criminally, then that is giving them immunity. Do you see how the liberals like to play with language? Do you see how they twist the language to win the debate? So Sanders points to other restrictions he supported, says his vote for immunity legislation was meant to protect, quote, a small mom and pop gun shop who sells a gun legally, someone who shouldn't be held liable if someone then commits a crime. But now he wants to do that because, of course, we have to ban all guns. He said, but I would relook at that. We're going to relook at that. And I will support stronger provisions. Yes, I'm sure he will. You can count on Bernie Sanders to toe the line on gun control. And when we look at the economic issues that they basically didn't talk about, other than health care, they say, oh, yeah, we should have full-on socialist health care. Look at this story from CNN. Five reasons why Venezuela's economy is in meltdown. Bernie Sanders' radical history is coming under more scrutiny. The fact that he went to Nicaragua, that he upheld the Sandinistas. That's why I call him Bernie Sandinista. And it's interesting, I think, in this CNN article where they say these are five reasons why Venezuela's economy is in a meltdown. Nope, they're not. There's really only two reasons. They do give one reason. The price of oil being depressed, that has hurt the Venezuelan economy. But the other reason, the principal reason, and what these other four are all about, is nothing other than socialism. Look at these other things. A currency that's worth less than a penny. No, that's the effect of socialism. That's not a cause of Venezuela's problems. A new power struggle that is dooming 2016. Again, that is a pushback against the economic and political policies that Bernie Sanders and other socialists support. And that is also an effect. A default in 2016 is difficult to avoid. That's an effect of the socialist policies that Venezuela has followed. And again, we have a food crisis. Again, as we pointed out many times, a 700% return on investment for Wall Street is what's led to this kind of poverty in Venezuela. Yet Bernie Sanders criticizes Wall Street. He will follow the same economic policies that have made that are making people starve in Venezuela if given the chance. And of course, he will pay Wall Street. Stay with us when we come back. We're going to look at a Donald Trump debate where he wasn't present. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would have never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having 3 kids, and
Working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Well, it wasn't just a Democrat debate this weekend. There was a Donald Trump debate. Of course, he wasn't there. Yet the House of Commons in the UK debated Donald Trump for 3 hours. You see, while they have their borders opened up for millions of Muslim migrants that they can't vet, that they don't even care to vet, they don't even want Donald Trump to visit. Like Michael Savage, they want to keep him out. And of course, this is misplaced political correctness. It's what political correctness is all about. Intolerance masquerading as tolerance. And this is what they had to say. This is the BBC reporting. They say Paul Flynn said Mr. Trump's call to ban Muslims from the U.S. was, quote, extremely dangerous, but barring him from the U.K. risked being seen as anti-American. But, you know, they're going to do it anyway for the Muslims, because they had a member of parliament, Tasmina Ahmed Sheikh, said a ban would be justified on the grounds of religious harmony. There you go, not tolerance, but harmony with religions. They also went on to say, as they were discussing this, they believed that Mr. Trump's comments had incited acts of violence in the United States. Really? Acts of violence by whom? By Muslims? By the people who are the only ones who think that disagreements justify acts of violence? That would be the Muslims. That's not what Donald Trump is advocating. They say, we give him the role of martyrdom if we're not careful, which can be seen to be an advantage among those who support him. You know, sometime we need to have a discussion about what martyrs really were about. That term was originally meant as witnesses, and it was Christians who were willing to die rather than deny what they had seen as witnesses. But now it is somebody who is willing to kill other people for their religion. Conservative Sir Edward Lay said the UK had invited despots to the UK in the past who had done, quote, far, far worse than anything Donald Trump can even dream of. And we should not shut down an honest debate about immigration. And one other person said, I draw the line with freedom of speech when it actually imports violent ideology. Well, they're importing violent ideology when they bring in jihadis or people by massive numbers from areas that are at war with the West, and they can't vet those people. And that's essentially what he was saying. As one of these Labor MPs said, I don't think Donald Trump should be allowed within 1,000 miles of our shores. Donald Trump is free to be a fool, but he is not free to be a dangerous fool in Britain. Well, basically, I would say that about the radical jihadis. I would say they're free to be fools if they want to in their own country, but we shouldn't have them within 1,000 miles of our shores. Perhaps it would be easier for them to understand if Donald Trump were speaking in a British accent like this.
First of all, it's not a ban long term. This country, our country, has to get its act together. And one thing I have to say, I have tremendous friendships in the Muslim community, tremendous relationships. They're great people. We have to get smart. And the people that I know in the Muslim community agree with me.
Are you a bigot?
Not at all. Probably the least of anybody you've ever met.
And of course, that was a masterful overdub by comedian Peter Serafinowicz. Now, we understand that the open borders and the clash of cultures is being set up by the United Nations. Look at what else they're trying to set up. Of course, you can't have a world government if you don't have a world government tax. The UN is eyeing a tax on football tickets, that'd be soccer tickets for those of us in the United States, to pay for humanitarian aid, and they would levy it not only on sporting events, but also on concerts. But just remember, it's voluntary, right? Like our income tax is voluntary. It started out as an income tax, which was just on dividends and interest and profits, but then it became a wage tax during World War II. It was supposed to be temporary. It never went away. And I remember being puzzled about the letters from the IRS as they would send out the forms by mail saying, thank you for participating in our voluntary tax system. That's the way these things go. Understand that it is not going to be voluntary for long, and it is not going to be a micro levy, as they point out, for humanitarian purposes. Of course, it's there to save the children, as they say. Remember, the Boston Tea Party was fought over a 3% tax on tea, only 3%. And when they tell you that it is humanitarian, that it is for the children, look at this article. UN whistleblower who exposed sexual abuse by peacekeepers, UN peacekeepers, is now exonerated. This is something that's been going on for quite some time. It was pointed out by The Guardian. They say the UN whistleblower who exposed the sexual abuse of children by peacekeepers in Central African Republic has been completely exonerated after an internal investigation. And we've reported this multiple times. Anders Kompass was suspended and faced dismissal after he passed confidential documents detailing the abuse of children by French troops to authorities in Paris. And, of course, we see the same thing applied to Edward Snowden. They say he should be treated as a traitor, and not just fired, but he should face a firing squad. And as Anders Kompass points out, when they have situations where they're paying girls 50 cents for sex, where they are continually abusing young boys, sodomizing boys repeatedly, he went around official channels and blew the whistle. For that, he should not be fired, just as Ed Snowden should not be considered to be a traitor. But, of course, we see Ted Cruz labeling him now as a traitor instead of a hero. We've seen Donald Trump call him a traitor. Pretty much everybody in the GOP except for Rand Paul. Now, stay with us when we come back. Today is Martin Luther King Day. We have an editorial USA Today saying whites killed Martin Luther King. No, when we come back, we're going to give you an update on who really killed Martin Luther King. Stay with us.
The race to be the Secretary General of the United Nations is clandestinely underway. The second term of current Secretary General, former South Korean Foreign Minister Ban Ki-moon, comes to an end on December 31st, 2016. Today's United Nations has mutated from its supposed noble peacekeeping 1945 birth under FDR's United Nations Charter.
And I am confident that the Congress and the American people will accept the results of this conference as the beginnings of a permanent structure of peace.
Into a new world order antagonizing behemoth, waiting in the wings to crush the sovereignty of nations across the globe. So who will lead the criminally immune New World Order's IMF-backed intergovernmental planetary organization emboldened by the rollout of the Department of Justice's handover of local police to the United Nations Global Police Stasi convolution via the Strong Cities Network, or the final word afforded it by Obama's unconstitutional Trans-Pacific Partnership, where, for example, scenarios such as these will begin to be played out as The Atlantic reported a Vietnamese company that owns 15 restaurants in San Francisco files a lawsuit saying that the pay increase violates the investor protection provisions of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement recently approved by Congress. The lawsuit is not in a federal or state court, but instead will be heard by three private arbitrators. The United States government is the sole defendant. Who will drop the United Nations green agenda-fueled hammer, continuing Obama's war on coal? Who will be the one to ramp up the initiatives of Agenda 21? Who will be the face of the New World Order's final rollout as the curtain is finally lifted? quite possibly one of the usual New World Order dupes.
Of a New World Order.
Barack Obama, Tony Blair, Angela Merkel, or Bill Clinton. Rumors of Barack Obama's interest have already created rumblings abroad. The Kuwaiti daily Al Jazeera report that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has heard the rumor and is recruiting the Persian Gulf states, including Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain, new allies in fear of Iran, to cut the president off at the pass. The Jerusalem Post reports that its sources close to Mr. Netanyahu do not deny the speculation that the prime minister aims to torpedo the Obama project. These friends say Mr. Netanyahu thinks Mr. Obama's presidency has been characterized by moving closer to the Muslim Brotherhood, toppling the regime of Hosni Mubarak, and by attempts to ally himself with political Islam. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, who stepped down last year as a UN representative to the Middle East Quartet of Special Mediators from the US, EU, and Russia, is now on the United Nations list of candidates, along with former United States President Bill Clinton, who has been drooling over the United Nations Secretary General position for well over 10 years. The latest candidate to long for greener totalitarian pastures is German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Under heavy fire for the glaring rape of Germany by hordes of protected jihadist refugees, Merkel now says that she does not want to complete her full term as German Chancellor and is planning to resign before elections due in 2017. The German leader is aiming to become the first Chancellor to leave of her own accord since 1949. And is interested in a new role as United Nations Secretary General or President of the EU, Spiegel magazine reported. The global banker's stooge, the United Nations General Assembly installs, will join the ranks of past UN Secretary Generals, including Nazi war criminal Kurt Waldheim and Egypt's Boutros Boutros-Ghali, the man responsible for supplying weapons for the 1994 Rwanda genocide. As the clock ticks nearer to midnight, John Bound for InfoWars.com.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, you can get 6 months free at PrisonPlanet.tv, but only for one more week. Next Monday, the special that only comes around once a year ends. In fact, we've never offered 6 months free before, but I really want to get more people to join and to be able to watch the nightly news, to see the live reports we do, the special reports, all my films, ebooks, and so much more. One person can share their membership with 20 people, and you are funding the absolute very leading edge, the vanguard of the resistance to the globalist operation on every front. We have to have our own platform that is harder for them to censor, harder for the system to shut down. PrisonPlanet.tv. We put out the daily radio show free with the video and audio feeds at Infowars.com/show. But it is the members that get the nightly news exclusively and first, and the commercial free video podcasts and audio podcasts that are paying it forward and financing and helping so many other people see the truth when we put the videos on Facebook, YouTube, and it's PrisonPlanet.tv that finances so much of the cameras, the equipment, the crew, the reporters. You are becoming a PrisonPlanet.tv member. You get exclusive HD, higher quality, get it first, and then you can download it, share it with friends and family, share your passcode with them, your username. It's a win-win, and then you're helping finance to put it out for free to everybody. PrisonPlanet.tv.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water. Save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Welcome back. Now, today is Martin Luther King Day, and of course, how do liberals respond? We see them trying to inflame white privilege, white guilt. We have an editorial today from USA Today saying whites killed Martin Luther King, but now we honor him. And they say centuries of kidnapping, torture, murder, and rape, we killed him. Not me, of course. I'm not a racist, but who thinks that he is? Well, here's a news flash. I didn't have any slaves. My parents, grandparents, great-grandparents didn't have any slaves. This is guilt by association, but more importantly, what this is an attempt to fan the flames of division rather than looking at who really killed Martin Luther King. And of course, that would be the government. And that's the tactic that the government likes to take. This article from Activist Post points out the FBI and Memphis police finally admit their involvement in the assassination of Martin Luther King. They say nearly 50 years since the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the FBI and Memphis Police Department have sparingly released information implicating themselves or members of their agency in facilitating and directly causing the untimely death of Dr. King. A civil suit later determined that a Memphis cop was involved in a conspiracy to murder the civil rights leader. And we're going to play an excerpt of someone who is involved in that civil suit later. But first, they point out, since revealing its illegal COINTELPRO harassment of Dr. King and the existence of at least five paid informants who reported to their Memphis field office, the FBI also disclosed that Dr. King's trusted friend and renowned photographer Ernest Withers had been secretly working as an FBI informant. Now, in 1999, a civil trial, King versus Jowers, determined former Memphis police officer Lloyd Jowers had been complicit in a conspiracy to assassinate Dr. King. In December 1993, Jowers appeared on ABC's Primetime Live, confessed to his participation in Dr. King's assassination. Jowers admitted that he believed Memphis Police Department Lieutenant Earl Clark fired the shots that killed Dr. King, not James Earl Ray. But of course, we don't want to actually look at who really did it. We don't want to look at the government's involvement in this. Instead, what we want to do is blame all white people and push this white privilege agenda so we can divide people. Now, for those of you who are InfoWars listeners, this is not a new thing. This is something we covered a long time ago. As a matter of fact, Leanne McAdoo talked about this in her very first report when she joined InfoWars. And right after this, we're going to play an interview that I had with Dr. Pepper, who was involved in that lawsuit.
Hello, I'm Leanne McAdoo with an InfoWars news bulletin. The term conspiracy theory is being used by the mainstream media to discredit genuine concerns citizens may have surrounding political events. Well, folks, if you find that your questions are being answered with facts, it's not a theory at all. It's a conspiracy. Today is the perfect day to draw attention to one conspiracy in particular. On this day, April 4th, 1968, the government played part in a secret plan to assassinate the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Now, that's not my zany conclusion, but according to our legal system, that's a fact. In 1999, in Shelby County, Tennessee, Lloyd Jowers was tried before a jury of his peers on the charge of conspiring to kill Dr. King, conspiracy with agents of the city of Memphis and the governments of the state of Tennessee and the United States of America. We ask you to find that conspiracy existed. It only took the jury 2 hours to reach their verdict. Lloyd Jowers and others, including governmental agencies, were parties to this conspiracy. Just days after the trial ended, media outlets like the New York Times seemingly attempted to sway public opinion by dismissing the verdict, saying the evidence presented was sometimes contradictory and confusing, as most secret plans often are. But in America, where the law of the land is trial by jury, even if you feel that the jury has made a mistake, the verdict stands. Of course, you can challenge it, but so far no one has come forward to challenge the verdict in a court of law. For more information on this conspiracy and others, visit the InfoWars store and pick up a copy of Dead Wrong by Richard Belzer and David Wayne. I'm Leanne McAdoo, and this has been an InfoWars News Bulletin.
Well, our guest for tonight is Dr. William Pepper. Dr. Pepper has been involved in cases of the assassination of Martin Luther King as well as Robert Kennedy. As a matter of fact, he's trying to get a case for Sirhan Sirhan reopened based on new evidence that's come to light in the last 10 years. Dr. Pepper is with us right now. Dr. Pepper, thank you for coming on and talking to us about these cases.
Okay, it's good to be with you.
It's always important to follow the story wherever it leads. And you followed this case for the Martin Luther King assassination for about 10 years before you had the retrial. It was actually a mock trial. Tell us what the conclusion was of that trial.
Well, the retrial, we brought a civil action. I brought a civil action on behalf of the King family against Lloyd Jowers and others who were involved in the assassination of Martin King. The trial was an actual trial, civil trial with a jury and a judge in Memphis, Tennessee. Went on for 30 days. Over 70 witnesses testified, and all of the evidence was laid out as to how Martin was killed and why he was killed. And so the King, it enabled the King family finally to have closure in mm-hmm. terms of that situation. Took the jury 59 minutes after hearing testimony over 30 days. Took them 59 minutes to come back with a verdict finding Jowers and the defendants. And we had named unnamed members of federal, state, and local government who were involved as being responsible for the killing of Martin King, and with no responsibility for James Earl Ray. Mm. So, and a little vindication for James a year after his death. He died in 1998.
Tell us who they found were responsible.
Yeah, they believed that it was a wide-ranging conspiracy. And on the basis of the evidence that came up, that he was killed by a single shot fired by a sniper who was in the bushes behind the cafe called Jim's Grill, was owned by the principal defendant, Lloyd Jowers. Jowers had admitted that he played a role in the assassination of Martin King, and so there wasn't much question about that. There was a military team there, Alpha 184 team there, and they were backups. They did not kill Martin King. Martin was killed by a lone contract gunman who got off that shot. Now, if he had not been successful, the military unit was there to make sure that Martin was hit. They were not going to ever let him leave Memphis because he was going to bring 500,000 people to Washington.
Wow.
And in this Poor People's March and campaign, they were not going to march. They were going to stay there and visit their congressmen and senators and press for a return to for funding for social programs. So they weren't. The military knew they didn't have the forces to contain a mob of that size if it got out of hand, and they were likely to get out of hand because they were likely to be frustrated in their requests.
Right.
So they had to stop King. That was wow. their logic, and they did.
Joe Biggs here with Infowars.com. MLK's knee slams Black Lives Matter protesters. I'm thinking some people don't even remember Martin Luther King and what he stood for, said King during an appearance on the Alex Jones Show, referring to the recent interruption of Bernie Sanders' campaign event by Black Lives Matter protesters. Of course Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. They don't even know that it's disrespectful to go to a meeting and jump into people's faces and scream Black Lives Matter. But no one has taught them to articulate a need, and because they don't know how, they're doing it inappropriately, she said. Asked what was happening behind the scenes, King remarked, "You wonder, who's kind of behind the movement? Who's paying them?" Adding that the political campaign she was involved in paid people to hold signs and attend rallies. Earlier this year, it was reported that George Soros had donated around $33 million in 1 year to groups affiliated with Black Lives Matter activism. You can find more reports like this at Infowars.com.
Just remember that when USA Today sells the idea that it was white people in general that killed Dr. Martin Luther King, he said, Dr. Martin Luther King said, when evil men plot, good men must plan. And when we look at Black Lives Matter promoting violence and division, we need to understand that he also said, when evil men burn and bomb, good men must build and bind. Join us again tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources.
It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligrams, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there.
InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.